If you have been able to follow us online at all over the past several weeks, then maybe you know that I'm in the middle of a series that we are doing about names. Particularly, we're looking at examples in Scripture where God comes and He changes somebody's name. And I've been saying over the past number of weeks that this is significant because names in the Bible have meaning. They mean something. And so when God changes somebody's name, He's changing the meaning of who that person is. We've looked at a few examples already in the past weeks. We've looked at the example of the disciple Simon, who Jesus renamed Peter. Last week I talked about the example of Abram, who was given the new name Abraham. And today we talk about Jacob. So these are words that come from Genesis chapter 32. It's printed on the sheet that was given in a handout. Genesis 32, this scene takes place right before Jacob is about to be reunited with his brother Esau, the brother that he cheated out of a birthright and stole his blessing. And he's about to go meet him again. So Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22, says this. That night, Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Now, we're talking about names. Here's an important part of the passage. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Now, there's more. Speaking of names, going on with verse 29. Jacob said, "Please, tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Or in other words, "You know very well who I am." Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place, or shall I rephrase it? Jacob named the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jacob. So, Jacob is one of those characters in the Bible who has many stories that go along with him. Maybe you know those stories, maybe you don't. But Jacob always seems to be getting into tension and trouble, and it goes all the way back to his early days. There are the days that we can recall from Scripture earlier when Jacob tricks his brother Esau from the birthright. His brother Esau comes in after hunting out for what we presume to be a long time, perhaps several days, and is famished, starving to the point of being delirious. And Jacob is cooking a stew, a soup. Esau says, "I'm dying of starvation. I need something to eat." And Jacob says, "All right, if you give me something like your birthright." And so he makes that deal. That manipulation, that deception. Maybe we don't think a whole lot of that, because what is a birthright after all? We live in a land where we strive as best we can to say that all people have rights. I know we don't do that perfectly, but that's our intention. all people have equal rights. Not so in the time of the Bible. In the time of the Bible, there was a birth right. There was a right that the oldest son had that none of the other children had. That was Esau's, because Esau was the first to be born. Esau, in effect, would be the king of the family as the family line continued. That was his birth right. Jacob says, I want that. That's mine now. And he tricks his brother Esau, deceives his brother Esau to get that birthright so that now Jacob is king of the family and Esau is the servant of Jacob. That's what happens there. Story goes on a little bit further, and now it's Jacob's mother, Rebecca, who along with Jacob hatched this plan to deceive Jacob's father, Isaac, into the blessing that goes along with that birthright. So you would read in scripture earlier in Genesis where Jacob dresses up with some animal skin on his arm so that he feels hairy like Esau was. And he goes in, because by this time his father Isaac is blind and cannot see. He goes in and he tricks his father Isaac into thinking, hey, it's me, Esau, but really, it's Jacob. And he steals then the blessing of his father Jacob, a blessing that was intended to go to Esau, but Jacob gets it instead, deceives his father out of that. It goes on from there because Esau is so upset about this that Jacob has to run away. Jacob runs away and he lives with his uncle Laban for 14 years. And there's this sort of back and forth deception that goes on between Laban and Jacob, where Laban tricks Jacob into serving more years than he had intended. But Jacob tricks Laban into getting the best sheep and the best goats out of his flock to be his own. Again, deception, manipulation, tricking. This has been Jacob's entire life. And in fact, it is the meaning of his name. Jacob literally means deceiver, one who deceives. Jacob's entire life has been about deceiving and manipulating and tricking other people to get what he wants for himself. And then we find this scene here in Genesis 32. Jacob is about to be reunited with his brother, who he's convinced is still furious, still angry with him. And so he thinks, what can I do to appease the anger of my brother Esau? Maybe appease is too light a word. What can I do to deceive, manipulate, trick my brother Esau so that he will receive me again? Jacob is still up to his same old tricks, the deceiver that he is. And so we pick up the story where I read it today. Jacob is sending all of his possessions over in waves to be met by his brother Esau. All gifts for you. And then when Jacob is all alone, this mysterious man comes who's not identified, and they wrestle. I should note that at this point in the story, Jacob is 99 years old. He's not a spry young man. How in the world is Jacob able to do this? I think it's understood here that the wrestling that takes place, even though it is given to us in physical terms, there is more than a physical battle happening here. This is a spiritual confrontation between Jacob the deceiver and his God. The God who has come to him and met him face to face and said, Jacob, we need to have a talk. We need to work this out. In fact, we need to have a fight, a struggle. That's what's happening in this scene. Jacob is having this fight with God because Jacob has lived his entire life as one who has been a manipulator, one who deceives, one who tricks. And so as the story goes on, it becomes evident. The man says, what's your name? It's not just that he needs to know who he's fighting, but he's saying, Jacob, tell me about who you are. And he says, I'm Jacob. I am the deceiver. I'm the manipulator. And he says to the man who's fighting with him, and I will not let you go unless you bless me. You see, I think in that moment, Jacob realizes something. He realizes who he is fighting against. He realizes, I need a blessing from this. Because here's what I think. I think up to this point, Jacob has been trying to manipulate that blessing. He's been trying to get that blessing by deception and by tricks and by lies. And he's had enough. God comes in and says, enough of this. The blessing is not something that is gained by manipulation. It's not gained by deception. It's not gained by lies. It's not gained by tricks. And so, face to face with God, Jacob says, then, if that's the case, I am not going to let go until you bless me. And the blessing then comes in the form of a name. This is how God blesses Jacob. God says to him, all right, here's the blessing. You are not Jacob anymore. You are not a deceiver anymore. Now you are Israel. The new name. The name that says struggling with God. That's what the name Israel means. Struggling with God. Jacob realizes in that moment that blessing is not something he can gain by tricking and deceiving, but blessing is something that comes from God, and it's God's to give. So the man blesses Jacob. God blesses Jacob with that new name, and Jacob understands that, you know what, up to this point, all of his many years of struggle and tension had a purpose that shows that blessing comes with a struggle. There is a struggle attached to that. I think many of us know that. I think many of us have lived long enough that we recognize some of that. That we know that we have had times in our lives that have come with some tension, some struggle. But we know that God gives blessing through that, doesn't he? It doesn't mean that we lose the struggle. The struggle may still be there, but a blessing comes through that. And so Jacob walks away from this place, and he wants to know the name of the man. Tell me who you are. But the man says, I don't need to tell you that. You know very well who I am. And we know that because of the name that Jacob gives to the place. Fine, if you won't tell me your name, I'm going to name this spot, this place where this struggle happened. Peniel, the face of God, is what Peniel means. That I have seen God face to face. More than that, put those names together. Israel Peniel. Israel Peniel. Struggle with God, face of God. Struggle with God, face of God. You see, to struggle with God is to see the face of God. When we struggle with God, we see his face. And God blesses him there because of that. One more observation to note in closing this then. That Jacob is left with a scar. There's something to remember out of this. Right? Jacob walks away from this with a limp. That he goes over the river, and I don't know, I imagine the scene, right? All the family had gone over, all night goes by, where's Jacob? Jacob finally comes in the morning, and he's limping. Jacob, what's up? Where were you, and what's up with the limp? Oh, well, I was blessed by God, and I got this. Well, a reminder. A reminder that is left with Jacob that he carried then for the rest of his life, that his struggle with God brought him face to face with God. And as the passage we read today ends, it was a reminder that all the people of Israel commemorate on down through the generations as a way of remembering. remembering that the struggle with God brought them face to face with God. And the entire nation, the descendants of Jacob, was known as the nation of Israel. The nation that struggles with God, because that's what Israel means. And they remember that, that in the struggle with God, they are brought face to face with God. So Jacob comes to this place in this passage where we see him recognizing, saying to God, I'm not going to let you go unless I get the blessing. And I've got the scar to show it. I'm not going to let you go till I get the blessing, and I've got the scar to show it. God showed up there. But you know what? You go forward in Scripture and God shows up again, doesn't he? God comes again in Jesus and a struggle happens again. And this time, it's Jesus who says, I am not going to let you go unless you get a blessing. And he's got the scars to show it. Scars that he still bears. Scars that when he was resurrected and appeared before his disciples, he said to his disciple Thomas, look, see the scars that are here, the scars of the cross. Scars that echo that story of Jacob to Israel. A struggle that took place in which God said to us, I'm not letting you go till you get the blessing. And here are the scars to show it. That's what we see in the story of Jacob today. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness that you give to us in your word. And God, we acknowledge today that we are people who live with struggles. And we acknowledge today that sometimes it seems that the struggles that we go through drive us away from you. But Lord, we are called back again today by the truth of your word to acknowledge that you take the struggles of our lives to bring us face to face with you. And you do not let us go till we receive that blessing. And you've got the scars to show it. Thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.